Job, praise the Lord. I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Going through the book of Acts together as a church family right now, along with a series of one another's, along with the book of Psalms, along with the book of Deuteronomy, along with a communion series, and just a lot of projects going on. But we've been looking at Acts, and we've gone through 12 chapters. We're opening up chapter 13 today, and I will focus on verses 1, 2, and 3, first three verses of Acts 13. If you're able to stand for a reading from the Word of the Lord, would you join me in standing out of honor to the Lord and for His Word this morning? Hear what the Lord would say to us on this Lord's Day, September 22, the year of our Lord, 2024. Beginning in verse 1, first organized missionary journey. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaea, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and, last but not least, Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, time of worship. There's going to come a day when life is complicated, life is full of pain, full of sorrow, full of challenges, complicated. There's going to come a day when we see Jesus face to face. And what a day that will be. Bless this service, Lord, as we continue on now in your word. It's always, it's not risky to go through your word. It's always challenging just to say, is this the word you want for us to worship under on this day? And Lord, here we are, Acts 13, first three verses. Thank you, Father, for being a God with whom there's no shifting shadow, no shadow of turning. We confess you alone are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Pray that during this service you would fill our hearts with gratitude. May our lives reflect and not just a cup half full, but a cup overflowing with thankfulness, so that all who see us may honor you. Speak to hearts this morning, Lord. Lots of folks here. I don't take any of them for granted. You've called them here. Just as the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas." So you have separated these here for this worship service. All of us together. Joy, joy, joy. Pray that you'll speak to hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've been watching the church grow in the book of Acts. It's gone from its infancy to toddler, now to young adult. The church is still very young. And in the big scheme of things in the book of Acts, you're reading a manual of church history, very early church history, the early church, if you will. Very young church, much like our own church. We are in just about 3 weeks away going to celebrate 20 years of church history together. And we've gone from being our infancy stage, childhood stage, kind of in that young adult stage, kind of growing, spreading our wings a little bit, doing things a bit differently than we have before. But the church here in Acts 13 is coming of age, taking on a new identity, focusing on different tasks, new roles, new projects. Did it have problems? You say the early church had no problems. Yes, it had problems. Every church does. Never been one without them. But Acts's problems exist, problem solved. You see that the Lord says, yes, you're going to have problems. I'm going to help you through each one of those situations. Don't be surprised when they arise. Just stay close to me, near the cross. O Lamb of God, help me to stay near the cross, and He will help us. Many call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. Good name. I think you could almost call this, certainly by the text that we have today and the text that's before us, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. While they met, while they prayed, while they taught, the Holy Spirit says unto them, separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas. I've got a use for them. I want to send them to a watching world. And without the Holy Spirit, I could not be saved. You could not be saved. Without the Holy Spirit, I could not be sealed. You could not be sealed. Sanctified, Spirit-filled, led, hoping, knowing, having not a hope-so faith, but a know-so faith. Sustained, sanctified day by day. The Holy Spirit, He works here, but He works in our hearts as well. Somebody say amen to that. Praise the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit just as they did then to guide us as He guided them. Now, this text, you say it's only three verses. What's the big deal? We are here because of these three verses. There was missions organization. And so, you know, there's almost 1.5 billion people across the world, around the globe, claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. You say, where did it all start? It started with these three verses, where the early church met and they organized in missions with an intentionality. And the Holy Spirit says, I've got two that I want to call to myself, and I have something I want them to do. I want them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Many would stay. Here we are. Many would go. And the world would never be the same today. So that this is a very important text for the body of Christ. Three verses that say why we are here today, gathering to worship with a Bible in our hands. It starts right here. And so let's notice the characters. I want you to notice very quickly the characters in this story. I want you to notice the call that's in this story. The Holy Spirit calls. Great and glorious day. Then I want you to see the course, the journey. They sent them. They went away. I want you to think about their course. And so let's spend a moment together very quickly here in Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now, in verse 1, the characters. There were in the church that was at Antioch. It was made up of a wide variety. And you're going to see the shift move in the book of Acts. It's all been about Jerusalem, the mother church. There's James, the half-brother of Jesus. He's the lead pastor. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Everything's shifting over to Antioch at this point. These are going to leave Antioch. These are going to come back to Antioch. These are going to report to Antioch all the great things that they have done, seen, and heard. You're going to see a great cast of what I'm calling characters in verse number 1. There were prophets. And there were teachers, and they were teaching the Old Testament. That's the only Bible they had up to this point. The New Testament yet to be written, if you will. You can literally say these three verses are why we have at least 13 books of the Bible. It's Saul, who was known also as Paul, who would write 13 books to churches that he would plant, churches that he would establish elders, and churches that he would write to. All of it's yet there. They're teaching, they're prophesying, the wheels are turning in the church, they're laying out the Old Testament. There are people who say today, heaven forbid, Old Testament's a has-been, Old Testament's a wannabe, Old Testament needs to be in a museum. This is what they were teaching. Christ is in the Old Testament, and they were preaching Christ to this church at Antioch. There were prophets and teachers teaching. There was Barnabas and Saul. We know those two characters. We've seen them already in the book of Acts. We know them very well. Barnabas, who was a Cyrenian, great. He got the top shelf card, member of the year, man of encouragement. Saul, saved from guttermost to uttermost, on his way into Damascus. fell on his face before as the glory of God opened up around him. He would be known also as Paul. Simeon, called Niger, likely a man of color from Africa. Cyrenian, like Barnabas, he was from Cyrene. Lucius was his name, early member, came to Cyrene to share the gospel, came no doubt with Barnabas to share the gospel. Hearts were open. Manaea, a prince of sorts, brought up in the house of Herod Antipas, a man who has a political pedigree. He is a prince of the Roman world who comes to faith in Christ. Talk about a church. This is a dynamic church. One from Africa, Barnabas and Saul, prophets and teachers, don't know their names, aren't meant to know their names. One brought up in Herod's house himself. The church, this is what it's going to look like in heaven. When we get there and we see Jesus face to face, we won't just be around Europeans. There will be people from every continent, far and wide, gathered all around us. Sacred day, beautiful day, the body finally joined together as we all cross the threshold of heaven on that final day to gather around his throne. The church is a picture of heaven here. This church is a picture of heaven on earth before my eyes today. What a glorious picture it is. It doesn't mention women. There were undoubtedly, unquestionably women who were present. All of these men would bring special gifts to the table. All of the women, we've had them bless us this morning in song and in a variety of ways here at the church since I've been here, with welcoming and greeting and childcare and teaching that single ladies class, singing this morning in the choir, all around us, musicians. Everyone brings something different to the table. Everyone here for a blessing. These would all impact the kingdom. You can impact the kingdom. How about that? I'll just say it plain and clear. Every one of them an object of Christ's work on the cross. You are an object of why Christ went to the cross. His life of innocence purchased your sins of guilt. He sent the Spirit to fill your hearts. His sinless blood washed their garments white as snow so that they could stand before the vast throne of heaven. He has washed our garments white as snow so that we can stand before the Lord in heaven. After his ascension, Christ left. Here's the church on earth. We barely know their names. We know very little about them. Herod, wouldn't you love to know about this one who grew up in Herod's house, how he came to know Christ as his Savior, how in the world he wound up at Antioch, gathered in this small group, this first organized missions day of all days, an inaugural day, a founder's day. And you would say, well, Saul's there, I know him. Barnabas is there, I know him. Lucius, you told me about prophets and teachers. Christ is gone, risky business. The Holy Spirit is there. Nothing at risk. We are safe. He's guiding us. I get together with the church council. I get together with the deacons. I get together with the trustees. I get together with this group, that group, finance committee. I get together. We think it's just a bunch of men and women in there gathering, putting their brain. The Holy Spirit is always present in our midst. He guided the church then. He is guiding the church now. We could not do what we do at this church for the kingdom of God without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is ever present. He knew their faults. He chose them anyway. He knows our faults. He chose us anyway. They are the Antioch Church. We are the Friendly Baptist Church, Branson, Missouri, and we've got lots of guests in our midst today. The Holy Spirit wanted to use them and wanted to send them. The Holy Spirit, his playbook hasn't changed. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He wants to use us for his glory. These are the characters. to use you in the kingdom. The call, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, they're busy preaching, they're busy praying. We're told they're busy fasting. They ministered to the Lord. They fasted. The Holy Spirit steps into their scene and as they are fasting. The prophets are teaching the Old Testament. They're finding Christ like Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He preached himself all the way from Moses' writing all the way to the book of Malachi. He preached himself, jet tour. They prayed to God. They fasted. They hungered to God for his guidance. They longed for God. Their body hungered for God. They fasted. Their soul hungered for God. They fasted. They were more hungry for God than anything that this world had to offer. I had a preacher. Preachers say the strangest things to me sometimes. I had a preacher to say, I don't know why anyone would preach on fasting. Fasting has no role in the Christian life today. And I looked at him as though he was from Mars or something. There has been a 20-year hunger for God in this church. And I think as we advance in age and in years, it is my prayer that that hunger, body and soul, would only increase as the years advance. And that fasting is not some sort of a discipline that the saints would practice in years gone by, but it would be a discipline that the saints of God would worship in every generation until Jesus comes. And that there would be times when we would say, this matter that I'm dealing with spiritually is more important than food itself. Or I'm going to abstain from the internet or from media, from any social media or from whatever. I'm going to do without something. And every time I reach for it, I'm going to remind myself God is more important than that is important. And there are times, and I think it's very important for you to talk, for your soul to tell your body, I'm in charge, you are not in charge. And for the soul to call the shots, over the body calling the shots. And these dear saints, you say, what program were they going through? The church went 1,800 years without a single program. Here was the program. They fasted. They prayed. They sang, they worshiped together. That's the program. And great things happen when the church keeps first principles first and doesn't get distracted by this, that, or the other. I'm not saying poo-pooing programs. Some of them have interest and some of them have appeal and some of them have attraction, but never forget the fundamentals. We worship, we pray. We won't lose confidence in worship. We won't ever lose confidence in praying. We won't ever lose confidence in teaching and preaching the Word of God. We won't ever lose our hunger for God. They hungered. They thirsted. They asked for His guidance. It is not them coming up with the ideas. It is not them setting the agenda. It is not them saying, you know what I think would be a really good idea? It is the Holy Spirit stepping into this thing and saying, I want these two guys, and I want them to be sent before a watching world. The Holy Spirit set the agenda. He says, separate unto me. He gives that inward call as though only as the Holy Spirit can do. I'm preaching. I'm giving the outward call. You can hear it audibly in your outer ear, middle ear, inner ear. That's okay. I'm giving the outward call. The Holy Spirit gives the inner call. He talks to us. As a young man, I was sitting listening. I had heard preaching all 12 years of my life. I had been to Bible school many times as a little boy. At the age of 12, preacher again, talking, Jesse Rogers, talking about the things of the Lord. But something was stirring in my heart on that day. As he was giving the outward call, the Holy Spirit was giving an inward call. And I heard something on that day that I had heard the same thing before, but I had never heard it quite like that. The Spirit of God was working in my heart. The Holy Spirit interrupts their meeting. He says, he calls out to them, "Separate unto me, Saul and Barnabas, if you will." He called them from the church. People say, "I don't need church. Church is the most dangerous thing I can do for my soul. I don't want to go to church. I don't get anything out of the church." I heard a guy say to his wife one day, "I don't want to go to church." She said, "Why don't you want to go to church?" "I don't think the people at that church want me, like me there." She said, "Well, give me another reason." I don't think the people would even miss me if I wasn't there." And she said, "I could give you a reason that the people would miss you. You're the pastor of the church. You gotta go to church." Okay. There are people who say church is the worst thing. Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit is not talking to ABC, NBC, CBS. It's not talking to ESPN. I'm not saying that God can't use people on those venues for his glory. He uses a lot of athletes, and he can use people in the newscasting, in the journalism. He's not talking to politicians. We've got Brian Seitzer. He's in the political world. That's his cup of tea. God uses him there, but God is talking to the church. That's who he's talking to. That's who he's talking to. People say, church, bad, 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 bad. There is no perfect church on earth. Certainly no perfect pastor. Just ask my wife. Glad she's not here. She'd say amen. There's no perfect church on earth. But Christ has attached his perfect head to an imperfect body. We limp. We gimp. We struggle. We have our issues. But he has attached, he is the head of the body of Christ. And he uses all of us for his glory. And when the Holy Spirit spoke, he spoke. Is it okay if I say this? He spoke to the church. That's what you're seeing here. And he had a work for them to do. And we pray that the Holy Spirit works among us. And that Jesus would say, "Pray, send forth laborers. The harvest is plentiful, the labors are few. Send forth laborers into the harvest. The harvest is white. It's ripened a harvest out there." And in my brief 10 years here, we've sent Matthew Ashley. He's now, this is a wonderful thing. He is like head over operations of Gideon's over the entire United States of America for the Gideon ministry. Where did he come from? Friendly Baptist Church. He was sent out. We've sent Zane and Cindy Edwards over into New Zealand. Where did they come from? Friendly Baptist Church. We started a school this week. We didn't start it. We're hosting a school, Faith Classical Academy. It started right here. The Holy Spirit is still working in our midst to do great things for his glory. We give to options so that the preborn, the unborn, their physical life is spared. Their soul is spared so that they can find life. We appreciate the Gideons. We've got quilters giving quilts far and wide, still going. Holy Spirit saying, "This is go time. Go, 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 go. You've got to go." Sending quilts and comforters into options, into women's shelters clinic, into women's abuse clinics, the Creation Museum we support. Ozark Leap, we support, love Ozark. He is royalty among the Navajo Indians, and he is one of our own, one of a kind, for 60 plus years to be reaching out to the Navajos. In a couple of weeks, you're going to hear the Lisenby family say, "Don't know them, don't care to know them." They came out of our church doing over 200 events a year for the glory of God, and they were members of this church for years before I came, and they'll be here in just a couple of weeks doing a concert for us. The Trinity is at work. Where does he work? He works in the church, touching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ so that we can have a brief history, 20 years, not that long in the entire scheme of things in the body of Christ, but we are coming of age. We are out of the infancy, out of the toddler stage. We are young adults at this point. How many say amen to that? Say, "He said, I'm a young adult." We are young as a church. with a very bright future. And Acts 13, 1 through 3 says this is organization time. The Spirit is talking time. He's working through the church time. Go. And so we've seen the characters and we've seen the call. Let's look at the course in verse number 3. And so again, they fasted. That preacher who said, shame on him. Fasting is not for our age. I'm like, you know, go away. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Moses fasted and prayed. David fasted and prayed. Elijah fasted and prayed. Daniel fasted and prayed. Esther, the whole nation was about to be wiped out. She fasted herself. She called for all Jews in Medo-Persia. Let's hit our face. Let's hit our knees. Let's get on our knees and beg God to save us as a nation. You know, the entire Jewish world would have been wiped out had Esther not fasted and prayed. Jesus fasted and prayed. The apostles fasted and prayed. Say, what hangs in the balance on this? 13 books of the New Testament. Billions of lives touched all over the world. Ministries started, books written, songs written. The Holy Spirit continues to guide today. We're Southern Baptists. We're one of many communion faiths. They call us the largest non-Catholic. I don't know anything about that. I never look at that kind of thing and think a whole lot about it one way or the other. But I'm told that you as a church, when you put your dollar into the plate, you're not only taking care of the Matthew Ashleys and the Ozark Leaps and the Lisenby families and the Gideons that'll come here, you're taking care of 3,500 missionaries touching the world. When I came, we were giving to missions. They had no face. I said, give it a face. Let's get the Lisenbys in front of us. Let's get the Ozark Leaps in front of us. Let's get the Matthew Ashleys in front of us. Let's get these people in front of us. We've got some locals. We know them. We ride them. We celebrate their birth. We got 3,500 that we don't know touching the world for Jesus Christ. Every time you give, we have 47,000 churches as Southern Baptists touching the world. Almost 2,000 here in the state of Missouri, Southern Baptist congregations. I think there's 3 in this town touching the kingdom for the good of others and for the glory of God. God is working through His church. There are 25,000 students right now training for ministry. And that's just within our communion of faith. It is a glorious thing that God is doing. We've got more seminary students than anyone else. We've got more seminaries, 6 big ones in the nation. We've got 2 that are working off the dollar, but our independent Southern Baptist seminaries. We have got Bible colleges, 3 right here in our own state, doing great work for the kingdom. God is at work as the Holy Spirit guides us. We're sending workers to Louisiana. Hurricane Francine came in. They go with their mops. They go with their buckets. They go with their meals. They're going to clean up, mop up, chainsaws, cutting down trees, getting limbs off of houses, because the Holy Spirit is calling us to do this. My daughter going to be working with the children's home 93 hours a week. The Holy Spirit is calling individuals to do this kind of blood, sweat, and tears ministry. The Holy Spirit is calling them to do that. We're involved in adoption. We're involved in elder care. My father-in-law right now in a Baptist home, Southern Baptist home in Ozark, Missouri, providing, it is the gold standard of elder care that they are giving. We are busy. And so this little 3 verses is the first domino. It falls. And the half has not been told. And I don't think if Jesus tarries, the half is yet to be done. There's much more to do for the kingdom. The church sent them away, we're told in verse number 3. They sent them away, and we'll look at where it is that they sent them away and how effective that they will be, and that they will not go in vain, and that our work, Paul will be going, and Barnabas, not only to save sinners and introduce them to Jesus Christ, he'll be going to, of all things, some of you may have to pinch yourself, he's planting churches everywhere he goes. And glory, 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 hallelujah, for what these three verses mean. Billy Graham says, we have a greater opportunity today than Paul and Barnabas ever had. Can you imagine what Paul and Barnabas would think if they had access to something like this, or to the internet, or to social media, or to airplanes, or to vehicles, or to boats that we have today, or to the medical care? Can you imagine what they would do if they had access? Paul and Barnabas did not have access to a fraction of the things that we have today. Billy Graham says if they could look down here, they would be chomping at the bit, wanting a TV program or a radio hour. They would want to be getting on a plane. They can't. We can. That's the point. I told the chairman of our missions committee, I said, okay, I want you to be out today. I want your notebook up. I want your pen out. Take notes. I'm preaching on missions. She says, okay, Pastor, I'm ready. This is for all of us. God has a great mission that he will accomplish only through the body of Christ. He wants to use us for the kingdom. It all starts with salvation. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? It all starts with me saying, I've made a mess of it. I need a Savior. Save me. You can come today for salvation through faith in Christ. He died not only for these names, these characters that are written. He died for sinners. Come to faith in Christ today. That is the appeal. May you have, like me, a 14-year-old moment. I was 14. May you have that moment where you come, you hear the outer call. I'm giving it. You hear an inner call that comes from the Holy Spirit saying, come and accept Christ as your Savior. You may need to come for prayer to this altar. I'll be standing here. The altar is open. These steps are available for you to pray. You can pray, I haven't given up my confidence in fasting. Haven't given up my confidence in prayer. If you need to come today for prayer, come. Say, Pastor, I need prayer. Would you pray for me and with me? There may be others who say, I need a church home. I've walked outside the church. I've been a believer for years. I kind of go to church. I kind of attend church. I don't have a church home. You may need to come home today to Friendly and say, Pastor, I need a church home today. I'm a follower of Christ, and I need to come home. I've been walking outside of organized church for too long. And I can see through these three verses, the Holy Spirit talks to the church. That is ground zero for him. And just as they organize under his guidance and leadership, so we organize under his guidance and under his leadership for the good of others and for the glory of God. If you've never trusted Christ, come. If you need prayer, come. If you need a home, come on home. Let's pray together. Father, there are characters in this text. There is a calling in this text. You've charted a course in this text for these who are there. Asking, Lord, that we could be numbered among the saints in heaven today. If there's one here today without faith in Christ, without Christ being their Savior, may they come today. Lord, there may be those who need prayer today. Just to come and say, Pastor, I am needing prayer. And may they come for that moment this morning. Others who need a church home, you speak, Lord. You deal with us. As you stepped in and dealt with them while they worshiped, while they fasted, while they prayed, why don't you come over, come and take over this morning during this time of invitation. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.